Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 285.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help you achieve jazz piano freedom so that you can express your true inner soul and emotions instead of having to copy what others have shown you. Now, we do this by providing structured and organized jazz piano education on specific jazz piano tools that you can then take and use over any tune so that you have complete jazz piano freedom. Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 285. My name is Brendan Lowe, creator and founder of Jazz Piano School. Thank you all, as always, so much for being here. Thank you for being a consistent listener. Thank you for just tuning in if this is your first time. I love doing this podcast, and I have some amazing news. The new Improvisation Mastery Specialty Course, which I've been working on for so long at this point, it's coming out on Monday, January 23rd, 2023. To celebrate the launch and the release, you can go to jazzpianoschool.com/improv to get all the information you need and a discounted release, a discounted option for you during the release to pick up the course and use it for yourself. That's going to go on next week, so I highly encourage you to take action on that right before that discount expires. Again, it will be into next week as I release the course. An amazing bonus that's going to be happening with this particular course, if you do decide to pick it up and get it, which you'll have lifetime access to, is that I'm going to be doing an online improvisation boot camp on Zoom. So if you want to take improv lessons essentially with me on Zoom and other classmates, right, I'm going to be walking through all the material that's in the course and talking to you and picking out the most important things that you need to know. That's essentially what the bootcamp lessons will be. And they're going to be Zoom lessons every single day, Monday through Friday, every single day for 2 weeks, two whole weeks. I'm going to be going over all the most important points, like I said, in the particular course, moving from beginner all the way up into advanced concepts. So that's going to be a bonus that comes with the course. So again, jazzpianoschool.com/improv. You can get all the information you need to make an educated decision about whether you want to move forward with that. I give you the whole curriculum there, all the details, so on and so forth. But let me tell you, this is a juicy, juicy improv course. This is the biggest improv course, specialty course. This is the biggest specialty course I've ever built for jazz piano. And the specialty courses, if you're new, they're just mid-sized courses. And when I say mid-size, they're big. They're big. Like, this course is over 130 videos, practice exercises, trading fours with me, just lots of practice videos, obviously educational videos, iReal Pro, utilization of that as we're playing, transcription analysis. So there's 20 lessons. There's videos within the 20 lessons, and the whole curriculum goes from literally being a complete beginner all the way up to an advanced pro and utilizing those concepts, different styles, rhythms, huge lesson on bebop, building a foundation, improvisation, and so much other stuff. So it's one of my, I'm really, really proud of this, honestly. It's a great course. And as I was developing it and creating it, things kept popping up. And I know this is going to be one of those courses where I'm like, I'm never really done with it. I'm going to keep expanding upon it, keep adding to it based on different suggestions that the students give, or if you guys want something or see something where you want, like, hey, this artist was doing this thing, can you kind of like highlight the improv that's happening here? I'll film that, add it into the course. Boom, you have new videos being added to the course, right? So obviously, when you purchase the course, you're going to have lifetime access. Any new updates that I make to it, you'll be able to get for free, completely free. So it's a fantastic deal. You can hang out on Zoom with me every day at 3 p.m. Pacific and learn from me, talk with me as I go over the course and demonstrate improv, talk about improv, teach you. And again, I'm going to give modifications for everyone. So no matter that if you're a beginner, intermediate, or advanced player, I'm going to be giving modifications for each and every step, how to start, how to practice. Woo! Yes, a lot of great stuff. Okay, so that was a long-winded intro, but it was an intro because this particular podcast you're about to hear is a transcription analysis pulled directly from with inside the course. So I'm going over a Red Garland solo, and this is going to be over the tune A Foggy Day, and this is off the album A Garland of Red. And this is a great, great solo. I mean, Red was one of those amazing pianists that it just sounded perfect, you know? It just sounded absolutely perfect. And, you know, by studying his lines and like looking at the way he's moving in and out and through changes and really thinking about it and working on it yourself, you can really get just like a detailed blueprint, an inside picture on exactly what's happening in bebop. I mean, such a great pianist. I do this for so many other pianists and saxophone players and trumpet players as I analyze their improvisation, Miles, Charlie Parker, Sonny Stitt, in the course as well, you know, because those guys are just absolutely crushing improvisation as well. I couldn't just do pianists, right? Because there were so many different types of instrumentalists that had an amazing effect and imprint on improvisation. But this particular solo I love. It's one of my favorites. It always stuck with me throughout my entire career. So again, jazzpianoschool.com/improv if you're interested in getting more details about the improvisation course coming January 23rd. And if you're listening to this in the future and you go and the page says, sorry, this offer has expired, it's because the release is over and the discount has expired. So apologize about that, but definitely go check it out as soon as you can. And without further ado, here is the transcription analysis lesson video pulled directly from inside the improvisation, new improvisation mastery specialty course. Here we go. All right, we're going to be going over Red Garland's solo on A Foggy Day off his album, a great album that everyone should check out, A Garland of Red. So this is a fantastic tune. Red starts his solo here over the C major 7, and he does something interesting. I shouldn't say that interesting, but he walks down to the third here. Very classic. But this little kind of ditty right here, like, is that's just not really played much in bebop. Usually if you walk down to the third, for the most part, you're going to hear that, like an arpeggiation of a rootless voicing. But he goes down to the third and then up to the fourth, right? So he kind of has this, like, more modern chord, which is really cool to start it off. So I love that there. He just goes from essentially on the G7 chord, the 13, down to the third, and then he has a nice little triplet in the middle. Back down to the third, which I really love. Again, utilizing this augmented fifth here, right? And then check out this chromatic pattern leading into the C major. Love that. So, I mean, great stuff there to take away. Just leading down to the five. I just love that line in particular. And then he just ends it with a nice C major triad over the C major chord. Right, so he doesn't hit a chord tone here on the G7 chord, right? He kind of has a delayed resolution to the beat 3, which is the B natural, and then chromatically resolves to the 5 of the C major with a nice C major triad. Really cool stuff there. Goes to the E flat diminished chord here. He actually just rests on that whole chord, right? A great utilization of space. So again, take full bars off, right? Take full bars off from your solos. Really, really cool thing. On the D minor 7, starts his line on the upbeat. Really cool line here. He was thinking blues scale here, definitely. So he starts on the C blues scale. Again, just a 2-5-1 in the key of C. So he's going 1, essentially the full major blues scale without the 2 here. He just kind of skips that. He just goes right to the flat 3, right? 3, and then kind of just chromatically walks up. So the full major blues scale is that. But again, you can just add some chromaticism to walk up to the 5. So love that line. Got a nice little triplet to start his line this time instead of on beat 2. Right? Again, still thinking about like C bluesy stuff here. Right? Again, you might say like, where does this come from? That's just C blues over the G chord, right? Right? And then he kind of goes into the C chord here. So anytime you have like a 2-5-1 in any key, you can always bust out the blues lines. Let me see. And then approaches the major 7 here of that C major chord, right? And then walks up. Now check this out. right here, sharp 11, 7, and then goes down to that, essentially that B flat. Now, what's happening here is you're like, wait, what's going on? Right, so he has this. Now, that B flat essentially is the flat 9 going into the A7 chord. Just like Miles did a lot, just like a lot of bot players, they would kind of give you a taste of what's to come. So he leads down into that flat 9 of the A7 flat 9 chord, which comes in the next bar. So you hear it, and then it happens, which is a really cool effect for your improvisation. Again, leaves lots of space. Really cool thing. He leaves 3 whole beats of space. Starts his line with a triplet again. You can play around with starting your lines with triplets or starting a triplet on beat 2. So he has... Funny thing enough, he goes down into a natural 9 now, right? So he goes, instead of starting his triplet line with a flat 9, he goes natural 9. And then continues down in another delayed resolution, right? He starts his chord scale above, half step below, and then hits his chord tone on beat 2, right? Delayed resolution to the 3rd there. Right, so he has bebop approach, hits his chord tone, jumps down to the 5, and then full 4-note bebop approach into that D natural, which is coming right there on the G7. You see that? Right, so a 4-note bebop approach into that G7 chord. Really cool stuff there. So he had one connection note, which was the A there, right, which goes up to that 4-note bebop approach into the D. Now he has a triplet, 2 triplets stacked back to back, right? So again, lots of triplets you're seeing here. Triplets are a huge thing in bop. Definitely add them in, start your lines with triplets, put them in the middle, put them back to back. So he has... Great line to take away for a 5 chord going to another major chord, or in this case, a dominant chord, right? So from the 5 leading down into the 3. So he's doing a triplet for the 3-5-7, flat 9, sharp 9, flat 9, 7 of the chord, and then approaching the 5 of the 1 chord, or in this case, another dominant chord, which is the 5 of that chord, right? So, and then he adds another bebop approach. So once he hits that G, another bebop approach, chord scale above, chord scale below, half step below, into that 3rd, right? And then he just has a little lead in here. Again, another triplet. So again, for the most part, triplets would be are going to be outlines of chord tones, just like that. So outline like of a rootless voicing, 3-5-7-9 is a lot of the times what you're going to see for triplets. Just like this was 3-5-7. He went to the flat 9 over the G7 in that instance, you know, 2 measures ago. But in this case, over the G minor, he's going to the natural 9. So really cool, just systematic process for using triplets. You can do triplets, really 3-5-7-9, 3-5-7, flat 9, and do use that line like he does there. So now for the first time, he has a 16th note pattern. So he has 3, E, and a 4, and 1, right? Oh, sorry. Right, so the first time he has a 16th note ornament, right? That's the very first time. It sounds really, really great. And he's going, messing around with the flat 13 over the C7 into the natural 13, 3, sharp 9, flat 9. So it's kind of like using the half whole scale a little bit, right? He doesn't have the G natural there, but he has the flat 13. Right, really cool line there. Let's get that resolution going. There's the resolution into the C over our F major 7, so that 2-5-1. Okay. And he just comes down chromatically, starts another line. So notice how he leads into the B flat now, right? So he kind of has this little approach here. Changes his scalar motion, right? Because now you're on a B flat 7 chord, so he's hitting that 7 now. Again, all diatonic motion here, no bebop approaches, 7, 1, 2, or 9, right? 13, 5, root, 7. Back to the C major. Half step below approach into the 5. Half step below approach into the 1. That's really cool. 1 and 2 and 3. Nice little movement. So you just have two back-to-back half-step approaches into two different chord tones, the five and the root. I don't do that much, but that's a really cool sound. Oh, sorry. Really cool, nice movement there. Again, uses that approach there to get into the... Well, does he? Let's make sure. I'm assuming he does. Yes. Down into the fifth of the A7. Right? So you can use this approach... You can use that approach for your major chords, your dominants, right, to hit the third, but you can also use that same approach to get into your six chords, right? So in this case, we have the A7 chord, which is the six. Leaves more space. Again, starts on the upbeat. Really great rhythm to start on for your lines. Start on the upbeat. It'll give it a little more pop, right? Now, what did I tell you, right? 3-5-7-9. Lots of 3-5-7-9s you're going to see a lot. There's no triplet here. It's just all eighth notes, but it's the same pattern always. So this is kind of interesting. He goes up to the 9, goes down to the root, and then goes to the flat 9, and then starts to go, like, I would assume this was kind of like he was thinking more G7 here already, hitting this B natural. Hits the flat 9 on the downbeat. And then this is going to be a big delayed resolution. Finally hits the third on beat 3. So that's where he's come to aligning his chord tones on the downbeat, is on beat 3. So he has flat 9, right? And then that probably leads down into the 5 of something else, the next chord there. Whoops. Got to go to our next page here. Yes, leads down into the 5 of the C major 7 again. Okay, cool. Sorry about that. All right, let's keep going here. So that brings us around to essentially the top of the form again, right? So now we have this. He does kind of like a similar line the way he started the solo before. So again, 5 with those octaves. Again, a really nice texture. Leave some space on the A7. Same exact line there, right? But now he has a triplet starting on an upbeat. So again, he just leads a little. Here's your minor 7 rootless voicing. He leads in with a half step below and just outlines the voicing and then comes down to the root. Very, very classic bebop lines here. Again, very common language you're going to see in bebop all the time. The more you can kind of take away these lines and movements and understand what's happening here, the better you're going to be at playing bebop and utilizing these lines. You can practice them to your heart's content, and I highly recommend you do. Here he starts again with a triplet down to the third. So he has a delayed resolution to the third on beat 2, right? Great line there, right? You should move this through the keys. Just check it out. Starting with a triplet, down into the third, jumps down to the 5, outlines up to the A flat, which is the flat 9, and then leads into the 5 of the C major 7, right? Double chromatic there, leading into the 5 of the C major. Again, so many times outlining the rootless voicing, going 3-5-7-9 in a triplet fashion, right? Let's check this line out here. Really great line here, approaching the 5 just with some diatonic motion, a whole step, leading down into the 3rd. Again, 5-7-9. He loves this 5-7-9 motion, right? Flat 9, obviously. I shouldn't say obviously, but flat 9. So again, this is a very common thing for red to do. 5-7, flat 9, and then a double chromatic into the 5 of the next progression, of the next chord, right? So now he leads into a triplet, which is a really cool effect, going to the 5. Again, 5-1-3, just outlining the chords. So that's a great texture as well. You can always outline the chord just without the 7th, right? That's what he does there. Okay. Moving on to this G7. Starts up really high, right? On the flat 13 or the sharp 5, whatever you want to call it. right? Goes down to the sharp 11, 3, flat 3, or sharp 9, I should say. So again, 1, 2. He uses another 16th note ornament here. This is the only the second time he's using 16th notes. So he uses a 16th note ornament, right? Starting on the 1, 2, 3, E, and a. So 3, E, and a, 4, and 1, E, and a, 2. Really cool rhythmic phrase here, actually, that you should probably jot down and make note of. So you have, in this G7 bar, you have 1, 2, 3, E, and a, 4, and 1, E, and a, 2. Right? Really cool rhythmic rhythms going on here, especially. So again, here's our G. 1, 2, 3, E, and a, 4, and 1, E, and a, 2, and 3, and 4, and. Really cool rhythmic phrase there. So again, 1, E. Really great stuff. Now let's check out this line over the C7 chord. He has a lot of extension here. So he has, essentially, he's probably thinking more altered scale extensions. Here's your flat 13, flat 7, flat 13. Again, this is a very common altered chord. He's just outlining an altered chord, essentially. This happens all the time in jazz. So just outlining or playing around with your altered chords, especially with the flat 13 and the flat 7. That line in particular for your altered stuff is really, really important. Like, and that's what he's doing here, right? Is that what he does? Oh, he goes down to this A natural. That's kind of cool. I'm not used to that. Let's see where he resolves to, because he's on the third of the G minor. Oh, he goes up to the 5, right? So he's already on the third of the G minor chord. So I was like, oh, where is he gonna go to resolve to a chord tone? Or is he gonna resolve to a chord tone? He could have played a delayed resolution, right? So he starts essentially, check this out. This is really, really cool. So what's happening here is he actually starts thinking about the G minor again on beat 4 here. So check it out. He's playing the same arpeggio that I keep describing to you, right? The 3-5-7-9, which is happening over the G7. He does take it up a note a higher to the 11, which is a really, really cool line, right? So he has, starting on beat 4 and a half, right? 4 and of the last measure, B flat, D, F, A, C. He goes all the way up to the 11. What a cool line. And he starts with a half step below approach on beat 4 of the last measure. So he's essentially thinking about that whole line, but starting on beat 4. So again, another kind of like preemptive starting of his improv line, leading into the next measure. Really cool stuff. So he has this C7 altered stuff. Right? You hear how that sounds? You kind of get a glimpse of what's coming even before I hit my bass note. Check it out. Here's from the C7 chord. Right? Let me do that again. That's so cool. I love this so much. Right? What a great line. Again, kind of approaches the 13 here, which is kind of cool. Or you could, that's probably the third. He's just resolving to the third, really, of the F major. Again, giving you more of your, giving your ear a taste. So he uses his bebop approach to approach the third of the F major 7, which comes in the next bar. So it's just early. Starts another line here. Woo, that's cool. Really cool. Let's check this out. Again, same exact stuff he's doing here. All he's doing here with this, you would think, how is he playing A flat and B flat, or this A flat in over an F major 7? But the A flat set is the 7 of the B flat. So he's just preemptively using the next chord scale to play over that, to play the B flat 7 chord, but starting it early. It's such a great texture. He uses it over and over and over again. B flat, Mixolydian. Lands on the flat 9, resolves into the 9, goes to the 13, and then finally hits a chord tone on that F, right, on the downbeat, right? Such a cool line. Right? How cool is that? Let me just make sure I'm reading these ledger lines. Is that right? Yeah, those are right. Sorry, sometimes the ledger lines, you know, there's so many ledger lines there. I'm just like, wait, is that an F? Yes. So anyway, that should be an E. That should be an E. Excuse me. I was like, that's not an F. My bad. So that, no wonder. I was like, something doesn't feel right. Right. So he hits the sharp 11 here, which is really, really cool. Wow. This is an outline. Right. Check this out. So he's going sharp 11, flat 9, 7, 5. So he really doesn't have any kind of chord tone resolution in this particular case, which is completely okay, you know? So he's essentially outlining this voicing here, which is a super cool voicing over a B flat. Sharp 11, B natural, flat 7, 5, right? What a cool line. Then we get to the C chord here. I'm gonna make sure I read my ledger lines correctly this time when they get so high. So again, he has D flat. So another, a nice little triplet starting on the flat 9, sharp 9, flat 9, 7. More chromatic motion. This is a cool chromatic line. I actually don't use this much. Right? So again, starting from the 7, going down chromatically to the half step above, and then dropping down into a double chromatic to lead back into the 5. Woo! That's a cool line. So again, or you could do it like that, or you could go, you could come all the way down chromatically. Right? Such a cool line there. But again, he does start with the flat 9, sharp 9. So again, again, this particular pattern, very, very common in bebop. Oscar uses this a lot too. Again, root, third, 5, 7, 5, approaching the third, leading into the next chord. So again, in this case, the C major, that E natural is the third, resolving to the third before the C natural hits. And then he has going to the A7, right? Really, really cool stuff. We won't go that much further because again, it kind of just gets, it gets more or less the same. He's using, you can note the textures he's using, obviously, a lot. Now here, instead of going, you know, he was going up his rootless voicings a lot with a half step below approach. He's just going down now. So you can reverse the ways that you go, right? So he goes, that's a cool line. So he has, again, two triplets back to back. 1 and 2 bullet, 3 bullet, 4 and 1. 1 and 2 bullet, 3 bullet, 4 and 1. And then another triplet on beat 3. We actually haven't seen a triplet on beat 3, I don't believe. Unless it was back to back, like beat 2 and beat 3. We haven't seen an alone triplet on beat 3. So let me see. Right? How would he finger this? Again, here. So again, here. That's that line on beat 3 and 4 is for the D minor 7 in the next bar. It's so crazy, right? So he has all C major here-ish. He might even be thinking about the D minor 7 there, maybe, but like he probably gets to this D and then is like, okay, D minor 7, because it's I wanna play that because it's coming up. And then he leaves full space for the D minor 7 because he just played a line that goes with the D minor 7. Right? How crazy is that? So yeah, let's do this line. It looks like he has a lot of cool eighth note lines. I mean, a lot of this starts to become the same. Obviously, you can start to see, and the way that I'm analyzing it, you can start to go through the rest of this now too, just like the other solos, and I think it will help you to analyze the transcriptions yourself. Just do exactly what I'm doing, analyze them, pick out the Lego building blocks, put them into your vocabulary, and so on and so forth. So here, we'll just do this line and then call it quits because it's already getting a long video here, 22 minutes. So we've heard that before, right? Again, just the blues scale. Oh, this is such a cool line. He just does it twice in a row. Right? And then he changes it slightly at the end there after the 7. He kind of hits this F natural actually over the D7 chord, which is kind of funny. Right? So he's kind of thinking just all C there. That's why he's playing more with the F natural leading into the E natural there. It's kind of like all C, right, for the most part. But I love this doubling up of the same exact line. and it's displaced rhythmically. So he starts one and two and three and four and one and two. So the line starts on a different note, on the second note instead of the C, right? A lot of times when lines repeat, if you have an even line, it'll line up with the beats, but because this is kind of like an odd meter line, right? It's going to start on the next note, and if you keep playing it, it'll start on the next note, like it'll start in the E natural the next time. Really cool. Right? Really, really cool stuff there. So again, keep going with this transcription. You have the full transcription there. A lot of amazing things. You get the picture, right? Red's an incredible player. There's so much to learn from his stuff. You know, there's no mystery or question to why he was one of the greatest jazz pianists ever. And so essentially work through this, work through the rest of his transcription, listen to it. Look at his other transcriptions too. There's so much to learn, like classic bebop stuff happening in a simple, simple way that sounds fantastic. Okay, hope you guys enjoyed this. Check out the rest of his stuff, integrate it to your playing, and I'll see you later.